This program is available on these quality radio services: Replay Radio, Breeze Radio, Talk Radio X, Audio Boo, Spreaker, Absence Radio, Nonstop Radio, plus the leading tablets, phones, and PCs.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets, and Windows phones.
Well, good afternoon, good morning, good evening. That was a great start to the show. I messed it all up. Never mind. That's the way things go. Hi, this is Eric Wiltshire. Getting back into the groove after being away. That's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. This is Postcard from Poprad, and I'm looking out through the porthole window, and it's sunny. Yay, here in Poprad. Got a couple of mentions to do in a minute, but before all of that, we will pollute the world with the zit of the nose of Europe, in the form of the geezer that's typing, Lee Banks.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and anybody else who's listening. He is wrong, of course, as he always is. I wasn't typing. I was dusting. I was doing the dusting. I was.
Yeah.
I was tidying my desk. I was dusting my desk. I was getting rid of all the debris of the night. We have a film crew coming here in 7 days' time, ladies and gentlemen. A Channel 5 news crew coming to see me to make a film about me. And Andrea, the wonderful Andrea, is making me clean the house.
Well, too right as well.
Well, she messed it up.
No. You messed it up.
She did as much.
You messed it up. You tidy it up.
Uh-huh. I'm not three.
You haven't got anything else to do.
I've got loads to do. I've got to do the tidying up. Then I've got to go and have a bath, because you've got to have a bath if a film crew's coming to see you.
Have you phoned the water board?
I'm phoning the water board later, yeah. And the electricity board and everybody else. Because it's like I only bathe. I don't shower. I think showering is a terrible thing that gives you palpitations and makes you lose your breath. And I have a bath every month, whether I need one or not. Ha ha!
Yeah, right. Sorry, Rach. Thank God it's not smelly vision.
I'm queasy just thinking about it.
I know. And down there, lower than Darwin. She's lower down these days. It is the lovely Rachel Brunston.
Hello. Hello, everybody. Oh, you're right, but you know what? Do you know what?
What?
I've got to tell you something.
What?
I'm absolutely in the right part of the world. I've got to tell you because...
Why? Why?
The last couple of days here in Melbourne, it's been 33, 34 degrees.
Oh, God.
And you know when it gets to 33, 34, when I was in Darwin, it would just be me going... under the big, big, soggy mess that the as is Darwin. Well, here I didn't even notice that it was 33, 34 degrees. I had no idea because it's not humid here at all.
Oh, I see.
It's
that
brilliant.
Makes a difference, doesn't it?
It makes so much difference.
Yep.
I didn't realise just how much difference it actually makes. See, 27, 28 degrees is a really nice day here. 27, 28 up north is bordering on diabolical. Now, 30-something is just... horrendous. But here, I had no idea what the temperature was. I couldn't tell you. It was just pleasant.
Well, that's the same here, Rach, because obviously, well, we haven't got so much water because we're landlocked, but you get this lovely, both dry heat in the summer.
Oh, you get cream for that, though.
But you also get dry cold in the winter, which is even just as nice. Stop. The boss is here. Are you going to say hello to the world?
No.
Why not?
Well, because we're not saying hello to you either.
Yeah. And you're going to talk to him? She's shaking her head, boys and girls.
Well, it's better than shaking her booty like she usually does.
Did I get interrupted for that?
I think
you
so.
Got interrupted for that, Rach, yeah. That's how much respect he has. He doesn't understand women. I do. I wouldn't.
I was about
like
to say
that.
Something truly fascinating, too.
Go on then,
Rach. There's a lovely stretch of water that lies between Victoria and...
Oh, sorry, Rach. There's a police car just going by the front. I've got the window open.
Nobody wants me to give this information.
I do.
Stop me.
Are you talking about the Pacific Ocean?
I do, but... Oh, no, there's a couple...
Oh, there's another one.
Yeah, flipping
it. And I tell you what, I've got roadworks outside my house, and that's stopping all the traffic. It's terrible, you know. I don't know what all these drivers are going to do.
I wouldn't mind. Let's let Rachel speak while the police cars have gone.
Yeah, it sounds important then, Rachel. It'd be like you're having a fanfare.
I don't know that I want to tell you now.
Go on.
I don't think I want to tell you now. I don't think I want to tell you. I think that was really hurtful. Very rude and hurtful. All right, fine. There is a stretch of water.
Yes.
Shut up, Lee. There's a stretch of water.
I'm showing now.
Rach.
There's a stretch of
water. Rach, Rach. This is a good word. You can do it with Rob as well. You go, presta. But from the diaphragm.
Presta from the diaphragm. What does that mean? Is that, that's not so slow back. You made that up.
Rachel. Mm. Press that from the diaphragm.
I don't have a stare button. How can I press it? What are you talking about?
Well, press that in press Slovak that. Means shut up.
Yeah, shut up.
There you go. Press there.
There you
shut
go.
Up.
And in Australian, it's shut your pie hole.
And in Mancunian, it's shut your gobble.
Now, there's a stretch of water that lies between Victoria
is it
and
the
Tasmania.
Pacific?
Shut up. There's a body of water that lies between Victoria and Tasmania, and it's called Bass Strait. And all that weather comes... Forget it.
Rach.
God, Rach, we're really interested.
Rach, shall I mute him?
You know what? It's 12:06 a.m. I don't have to be awake doing this. Let's move on, shall we?
Rach.
No, carry on, Rach. It's really interesting.
Rach.
No, it's not, and I hate you all.
Rach. Shall I mute him?
No, don't mute me.
It's late now.
I didn't say mute. I said mute.
Oh, I thought you said you'd been to a mute.
No.
Oh, I've been like them quite often,
Rach,
you know.
What is this weather condition caused by? Because now I want to know.
What's this stretch of water between Victoria and your friend?
Tasmania and Victoria, there's a stretch of water called Bass Strait. All that water comes directly from the Arctic, really. Wow. So it just comes up dry and cold, and that's it.
All right.
So it blows all this really cold air onto us, and it's not humid at all. It's just dry, cold air. And, of course, in the summertime, when the temperatures rise in the atmosphere, being that it's summer, it doesn't get sticky. It just keeps remaining dry. It's brilliant. Of course, the downside to all that is we are prone to the odd bushfire or 9 million.
And if your bush catches on fire, that's terrible. I know. I've had that happen to me.
That's why you have a bath every month.
Exactly. Keep your bush. I was saying fireproof.
Right. Stop it. Now, be serious.
She started it.
Children. Right, anyway, we're going to be serious just for one sec. I just want to say thank you to a load of people. And these are the people around the world who are responsible radio people who on the Remembrance Sunday in the UK and also on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month ceased their broadcasting and respected the 2 minute silence. And I also want to pay particular thank you to, or gratitude to, a gentleman in Australia who clearly was a little bit upset by people not respecting the 11th hour of the 11th month. And he stopped his lorry in the middle of the road, stood at the front of it, and didn't move until the 2 minute silence was complete. Sir, I commend you. You're a wonderful man.
Absolutely. There were a couple of incidents like that. There was somebody in England, I think it was a bus driver, did exactly the same thing. Just stopped the bus and made everybody shut up for a minute. I thought it was really good.
I think it's brilliant how there were certain radio stations that actually managed to not have their emergency stuff in place. So when they decided to go silent, it happens every year. It happens to somebody. But they had the foresight to actually make sure that emergency system was disabled, which was, you know, good on you, fellas.
Yeah, well done, lads. Do you know the last really, really, really big station, well, the last two big stations I was on, we actually had Tweety Birds just to avoid the emergency stuff kicking in and throwing its toys out of the pram and the like. And it was rather nice. But seriously, thank you to all those wonderful people. There is actually, and I think it's quite important, the first ever remembrance service being held in Bratislava in Slovakia. Because obviously,
that's interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, before the wall came down and everything else, it was a slightly different situation. But this year, and it's a really good thing. It's been organised by the British Embassy and the Slovak Ministry of Defence. And they're actually having a remembrance service in Bratislava. And if you're going down there, I'll say hello to you, because we're going down there with a rather nice invite from the minister. So thank you very much, sir. Bless your heart. And we will be there, and we look forward to it. And we will be wearing our poppy with pride.
Absolutely. I have something quite controversial to say about this, if I may. And it's to do with Sainsbury's. Have you seen the advert, the Christmas advert for Sainsbury's?
Yes.
What do you think about that? Particularly, you see, just to fill everybody in, it's the old story of the soldiers who on Christmas Day got together and played football, which everybody says is a wonderful story, and in its own way, it is a wonderful story. I do think that story's been blown out of all proportion based on the fact that they played football together on Christmas Day and then went and shot each other the next day. So the actual, the morality behind it is a bit twisted, but it's equally as twisted for Sainsbury's to make a massive advert about that event, to cash in on a controversial event like that, and to launch it on the week, which is 6 weeks before Christmas, of Remembrance Service. I think it's pretty bad.
Well, their excuse, for those who haven't seen it, was it was done in association with the Royal British Legion, and they're trying to raise funds for the Legion, which is a good thing to do anyway.
That's a good thing, yeah. But it's still, you know, you can give money. You're rich enough to give money to that thing if you want. You don't have to capitalise on it and make it a commercial entity in that way.
No.
It's pretty low. And then to launch it 6 weeks before Christmas, on the week of Remembrance, you know, I'm sure the people at Remembrance, they thought it was a really good idea.
Well, okay. Anyway, we move on, because I don't like the advert at all, to be honest.
No, I don't.
The Casualty star Rebecca Gibbs has died at the age of just a meagre 41.
I know, terrible, isn't it? Really bad.
You get Casualty, don't you, Rach?
They do, and they used to have a channel. They don't have it anymore. They've changed all the channels just in the last week or two
on our cable service,
and they've changed all the numbers, which is confuses me in and of itself. But they've also changed the name of a whole bunch of stuff. We used to have a channel called UKTV, which would give us Corrie and EastEnders and Casualty and all that balava, and now it's called something else, and I can't find it.
Oh, shame on you.
Really? Really,
you know how much
time.
I love my telly? I'm really upset about this. This is a real grind your gears moment, yeah.
Who is this, Foxtel?
Yeah.
Shame on you, Foxtel.
Yeah, tell us, Rach.
Shame.
You know how easily confused I am? I think it's cruel.
Yeah, well, anyway, we're sad to find out that Rebecca has passed on, especially when she's got a little kiddie as well. A daughter was born in 2008, which is what they're attributing the start of the cancer to. So our thoughts and prayers are with the family on that one. The Big Bang Theory, Mrs. Wolowitz.
This is terrible.
Why?
I'm really upset about this. I love this show. I love this show.
I've never seen it.
It's brilliant. It's so well written. It's funny. It's so well written. The dialogue's really clever, and she's this brilliant woman. She's Howard Wolowitz is one of the characters, and she plays his mother. It's clearly a you know, Jewish mother and son dynamic. Mm. And she, instead of actually seeing her on screen, we hear her screaming at the top of her lungs at him all the time, especially when she's having bowel movements and all this. It's really cleverly done.
Yeah.
But the actress who plays her, Carol Ann Susie, who people would know from she's one of those actresses, she's a character actress, you see her face, you go, oh, I saw her in this or I saw her in that. Mm-hmm. So she's one of those ladies, but she's died after really, really, really brief struggle with cancer, and she was only 62 years old. So it's really quite sad, because I don't know what they're going to do about that voice. I don't think anybody could do it like
probably
she can.
Not.
I really don't.
And moving on, Warren Clark, the star of Dalziel and Pasco, has died at the age of 67. He was just one of those guys, Warren Clark, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, his career went back. I remember him first, and I was a babe in arms, taken to see this film by my mother. I was in swaddling clothes.
Yeah, right. And, we believe him, don't we, Mrs. D?
Anyway, that was the first time I saw him. Was in A Clockwork Orange, you know, the film that inexplicably got banned in 1971.
What a great idea.
What was? Taking a child to see that? I know she should have been arrested, my mother.
No, any film by Stanley Kubrick should be just locked up and thrown away. What?
Oh, dear. What? That's ridiculous. You can't
that's
say that.
That's outrageous.
That's boy. Preposterous.
That's ridiculous. That's rubbish.
You said some pretty yeah. silly things in your day, but that's probably one of the silliest.
They are rubbish.
What? 2001's rubbish?
Yes.
2001 was brilliant.
Please,
so
a big, big carpet, too.
That thing he made with Kidman and Cruise was sketchy.
That was at the end of his life, though. He was on his way out, and I think he died before that film was finished, and it was put together posthumously. So it was Eyes Wide Shut you're talking about, aren't you, darling?
Yeah, yeah, and if he'd seen it, it would have killed him.
Yeah, well, it probably would, but it started off very well. Then he jossed it, didn't he? And that was it.
And then he died. You can tell where he died.
Yeah, there's a problem.
They're off
yeah,
again, aren't they?
And but what about 2001 A Space? What about one from the Heart with those actor people in it? There was a musical.
Those actor people. That was really resounding, wasn't it? Absolutely embossed on his brain, those actor people.
What about The Shining Man?
Shining Man.
Oh.
Look that, man.
That's another load of dross.
The Shining doesn't rub it. Here's Daddy. Yeah.
Awesome. Here's Johnny.
A load of dross. Yeah, right.
Scary, really.
Anyway, we're talking about Thingy, Warren Clark, who's died. He was 67. He comes from Oldham, which is just round the corner from me. And I can't say that I've ever met him or known him or anything, but he was a bit of a hangdog thing. And he lived life to the full, let us say.
Good man. The first photograph ever taken from the surface of a comet has arrived back in the in Germany first, not the UK, in Germany first, which is where the headquarters of this particular part of the European Space Agency is based, and the control centre of the Rosetta. It's just phenomenal, and it makes you wonder, you know, this satellite has been up there 10 years.
And it fell over when it landed.
Well, probably a drink on the way down. But when you think about it...
You could sing Rosetta to it. Go, Rosetta, are you better?
You know what it's like when you've been at sea for a little while, been on a boat or something, and then you stand on land and you feel a bit wonky. I reckon
you
that's what happens.
Exactly. But think about it.
It's broken it all. The thing's running out of power now and it's going to die. It's only been there a day. It's only taken some snapshots. It's like going to Blackpool for a day, isn't it? And
It still managed to drill, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's the drilling that might be the major problem, because it's like, oh, I've just got a visitor in my studio. Isn't that interesting? Did you not see the red light on? It didn't mean I was operating a whorehouse. It meant I was recording.
Jeez.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, the point I was trying to make was this satellite was built over, well, it's been on a 10-year mission, so the tech's about 12 years old. Yeah. And when you think about what it's doing, sending pictures back to Earth from all those zillions of miles away, with technology it's about 12 years old, that's pretty darn good.
But Eric,
there's this massive Polaroid falls from the sky.
Yeah.
So we have to go get it, wave it around for a while, and see if it comes up with a picture.
I still don't understand what they're going to get out of it, but never mind. Anyway,
That is interesting. Well, no, that's a reality, isn't it? And we possibly have got a chance to now prove whether there is life on other planets and how our own life form came about, because it is believed that it was a comet that created life by accident.
Yeah, Big Bang. Big Bang. We're back there again, aren't we?
You're wrong with the Big Bang.
Mr. Cameron's sort of sparked off a lot of controversy, and I will say one thing in a moment after I just tell you why. David Cameron has vowed to seize passports from UK jihadists and actually confiscate the passports. Now, there's a load of people up in arms about this, but can I just remind people who are up in arms about this whole thing that a passport is not a mandatory thing. You don't automatically get a passport.
No, if you're dodgy, they won't even give you one.
No, you're granted a passport.
Yeah,
I know, because I don't have one.
You're like every American. They haven't got them either.
I know.
Well, that's because you don't have to leave your country. Your country's that big.
No, everywhere's too far away.
Yeah, exactly.
Too far away for me.
Yeah. So, boys and girls, before you get all stupid about it, The fact of the matter is, a passport is granted. It is not the right to have. And so therefore, if the government who issues the passport wants to take it away again, they can.
And well, they can anyway. That's what this David Cameron thing is about. It's absolutely ludicrous that this simpering middle-class oiky man who represents this country can stand up and offer such a inane solution to something which is horrific.
It's a good thing.
It isn't, because we're already, because of, like you've just said it, it is a law anyway. We can rescind anybody's passport at any time if we wish to.
There'll be a load of oity-toity, mamby-pamby, sandal-wearing lawyers who will jump up and down and go, you can't do that, it's human rights, I'm going to take you to the High Court. And this way round, as it is specified as a law, these mamby-pamby lot can all go and clear off.
Clear off, you lot of namby-pamby. Yes. But it still is the fact that this doesn't really move anything on. And for him to stand in Australia, which is a wonderful place, and schmooze the Australian Parliament with inane jokes about his lack of ability to do an Australian accent, and for... Actually, if you looked at Rachel...
It was pitiful, wasn't it? It was really awful, yeah.
And what I liked about your favourite person, Mr Abbott, was the fact that he could actually see through it. He could see through it.
He doesn't like him at all.
Did you not see a picture of the pair of them together?
They caught a plane together from Canberra to Brisbane. And it was really funny. Because Canberra to Sydney. And they were walking along the harbour side, each in their jeans and their chambre shirts. And I'm like, somebody grab the other one and push him in. I don't care who.
Yeah.
Hold hands and leap into the harbour. I really don't care.
That'd be really romantic.
Are you telling me that David Cameron sat on Abbott's back and Abbott flapped his ears and they landed somewhere else?
Oh, that's a beautiful image. That's a wonderful image.
They did, and you know what? It was propelled all by methane and rhetoric.
No. Mr. Abbott, I mean, he's got ears that make Dumbo look normal.
His beer's very good, though.
He's what?
His beer's very good. Sorry, Rach. It's a trademark of a British beer, Abbott Ale.
Well, that's a joke for the two of you then, isn't it?
So are you tonight, Rachel?
I've got to tell you something really funny while we're on World Leaders, okay? Before we get to Vlad, right? Yeah. Let's talk about Barack for a sec. Do you know what Barack's people have done?
Oh, yeah.
They've asked if they can dig up a roundabout in the middle of Brisbane so his motorcade doesn't have to slow down. How awesome.
I heard that, yeah.
But don't you know what? Have you seen Brisbane? Have you seen any of the footage of Brisbane? There's nobody there. There's no one there. They've fenced off the entire city. I don't know how anybody's supposed to make any money or operate a business, but they've fenced the entire thing off. It's surrounded by cobblers.
Don't you call roundabout circles?
Hmm?
Don't you call roundabout circles in Australia?
No, we call them roundabouts.
All right.
Which is why I called it one. Come on, love.
Yeah, wake up.
I thought they were called circles. I could say, go up to the second circle and turn right. And things like that.
Can I just
tell you something very briefly? I have to apologise.
I want to ask a question.
I want to say something. I just need to apologise.
Rach, why do they think it's necessary to get rid of a roundabout for Obama's car?
Because so he doesn't have to slow down. So his motorcade doesn't have to slow down. But you know what?
For security reasons.
Because it's he's got those cool SUVs. They can go over anything.
Well, exactly. You just drive over it.
Exactly. What are they made for? They're bulletproof, for crying out loud.
No, Rach, you're missing it, mate. Off-road cars are bought by people not to go off-road.
Exactly.
That's why everybody drives them in the CBD.
Yeah, exactly. But,
It's too much
of a security risk to have this roundabout. We'll bulldoze it because it only takes us 8 months to build a new one.
Go on, Lee. You can have your apology quickly.
That's very kind of you. Thank you very much. I just wanted to say, ladies and gentlemen, and everybody else, that I apologise to shouting at the person who came into my studio with the red light on, as it was actually my chauffeur-driven sausage and onion butty had just turned up and they were bringing it in for me. Infamy. They've all got it infamy.
Yeah, I know they have. Anyway, apparently Tony Abbott's ticked off good old Vlado Putin, and they've sent some Russian warships to Australia.
Well, it's a funny thing, this, isn't it?
It's hilarious. You know what? It's after the Russians shot down the plane with all those Australians in it. Yeah. He got really upset because nobody was cooperating with the investigation because, you know, it's in the middle of a war zone. Mm-hmm. So it all got a bit tricky and messy. And then there was all this sort of to-ing and fro-ing between the two of them. And then Tony Abbott said he was going to, and I quote, shirt front him.
What's that mean?
I know, I didn't understand that.
I don't either. It's a football term, apparently. I don't know why our Prime Minister is speaking to us in football terms, but
what?
What?
Shirt fronting.
It sounds like a mopping up operation.
Oh, I get
it. Google shirt fronting.
I get it. Like, yeah.
Chest bumping? Is it some sort of aggressive...
It's like moob bumping.
Right, there you go. Okay.
Bumping?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, so he did it. So
moob bumping?
Giving somebody a chest bump.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
So they met up at the APEC summit in China just in the last week.
Hmm.
And there's all this footage of him sitting next to Vlad. Now, instead of shirt fronting him, he basically butt puckered him. And he was all very kowtowy and stuff. Then told us that he wasn't kowtowy at all, that he had really, really got up in his grill during this meeting and whatnot. And I thought, that's not true, because you were looking very meek and mild in the photo with him. It was just too dodgy for words. Like, yeah, there's no shit going on there. So next thing I know, there's this news flash across the telly, and here's Russian warships coming towards Brisbane. It's like, really? What are you doing that for?
They're
sitting in international waters. They're sitting in international waters in the Coral Sea. So they're not going to get any closer, because if they do, we can actually blow them up if we want to. But but it's like, oh, well, that's pretty cheeky. Like, what on earth are Russian warships doing all the way down here? You know, really?
Isn't it really that it's quite, in a way, it's not worrying what's happened there now, because like you say, it's just saber-rattling. Well, it's not even saber-rattling. And the more you analyse it, the less and less important what Putin has done, except on the bullying level of being an action man. It's like, you know, it's like him sitting on a plastic horse there with his shirt off and looking at the world and saying, aren't I gorgeously muscly and tough and strong and I can kill the world if I wish. And all he's done
outside
here,
your house in the middle of the night and revving your engine or something.
Anyway, boys and girls, we've got to take a commercial break. We'll be back very, 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 very quickly, because the man's about to say this.
Eric, give me a break.
If your dream holiday is 2 hours from the UK, perfect for children and teenagers, young couples and the older visitor, ideal for the physically active and for those who just want to unwind, Aqua City is the destination for you. Described by the Travel Channel as the place that will soon be on everybody's lips, be ahead of the crowd and the envy of your friends, but still enjoy a home from home. Come to Aqua City Poprad, the world's leading green resort.
Hi, I'm Lewis.
Hi, I'm Chris.
Hi, I'm Nick.
Hi, I'm Yu.
Hi, I'm Ben.
Together, we are all Train to Game winners.
If you want to join us in the Train to Game Hall of Fame
and take your first step in a career into the gaming industry,
please go to www.traintogame.com.
That's www.traintogame.com.
If you want to join us in the Train to Game Hall of Fame,
that address again,
www.traintogame.com.